Thank you, Brother Jacob, for those searching questions. Might let you in a little bit on some of my struggles the past day or, well, yesterday, to be honest. After our meeting on Wednesday evening, my thoughts started going down a certain direction, and it was precisely what Brother Jacob, well, not precisely, but down those lines, I had dug out my martyr's mirror in the Fox Book of Martyrs and was thinking, would these questions even be in the horizon for us if we were in the shoes of the people that suffered for their faith? I'm sure a lot of that would disappear. I don't think we should be praying for persecution, but do we get too complacent in some of where we are and where we're living? So yes, greet each one here this morning in the name of our Lord Jesus. Welcome here. Can't tell if there's any visitors or not, but welcome to each one. And I would like to have somebody pray for me again. And I'm not sure who. Do I have a volunteer? That might help. Brother Lewis? Yeah, if we could rise and you could lift your voice and pray, and it'd be a blessing.
Our Father, we just are so thankful that you are God. So thankful that you are in control of this universe. Father, I do pray that you bless our dear brother Alan's lips this morning. Father, I pray that you give him a clear voice as he shares your word. Father, I pray that you give him clear thoughts. Just to bless your people, Lord, through the work that Brother Alan has done in the past days of studying in your word. I pray that you bless him with clarity and understanding of how to share that word. And just give us all a blessing. Help us to honor you in our lives through what we hear this morning. Father, give us your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for hearing us. Thank you for each brother and sister that is here. And yes, Lord, we pray that your spirit would be here among us today, guiding what I say and guiding how it hits the ears of the people, their hearts, and may each one of us take seriously the question whether we're able or willing to bear your cross. So bless us, Lord. We look to you. Thank you that you hear us. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Brother Lewis, for praying. So, yes. It's like didn't quite go on with that yesterday for some reason. I'm not sure why, probably because Brother Jake so aptly brought it to us. So this morning, we want to look at and think about disappointments in our life. We want to look at what disappointment is, how it can affect us, and want to consider how God uses the discipline of disappointments to help us, to make us stronger. But the devil also would like to use disappointments in our life. He has a different goal in mind, and unfortunately sometimes he succeeds too often. I'll just write it up here. I can remember how to. That look all right? Something spelled wrong there. Where's my teacher? Okay. So the discipline there in that title, what is the purpose of discipline? Isn't it for improvement? When we discipline a child, isn't it to help the one being disciplined? And I believe that's what God desires for us when he allows disappointments in our life. I'm not sure what all to do with all the disappointments, whether God brings them to us, whether he allows them, probably some of both. But God wants to use them to make us better. I think Jacob referenced that in his opening there. So in the Webster's 1828, the word disappointment says defeat or failure of expectation, hope, wish, desire, or intention. Or maybe in plain English, something that we were expecting to have, something we were hoping for, wishing for, desiring and intending to have, and we didn't get it. That is disappointment. And has anyone of us ever experienced anything like that? I expect most of us have at some point or another. And the question is, what do we do with it when something like that happens? God has a vested interest in your response to disappointments, and Satan does too in a very different way. Now, Webster's 1828 also had this to say about disappointments. He says, "We are apt to complain of the disappointments of our hopes and schemes, but disappointments often prove to be blessings and save us from calamity or ruin." Now, I find it interesting what he says there, what Webster says there, that often they prove to be blessings, saving us from ruin. Why would that be? And how could that be? I guess I thought one could be that we might have had our sights set on the wrong thing, and the Lord in his mercy doesn't allow us to have it. True, we are disappointed, but many times afterward we can look back and see where it would have taken us and are thankful it didn't work out. We can see God had our best interest in mind, even though it doesn't make it easy right now. And it's not always a disappointment. It's not always about something that isn't right. Maybe not very, but it does happen sometimes. So how you deal with the disappointments in your life? So how do you deal with the disappointments in your life? Remember that God is very interested in how you respond to them, and Satan is too. He wants to help you respond wrongly. So I thought we'd look at a few examples of people in the Bible who went down the path that the devil wanted them to take in their disappointments, and they ended up in a very bad place. So for the first one, you can turn to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27, and we'll read verses 1 through 5. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, "I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood." And they said, "What is that to us? See thou to that." And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. So according to this account, it doesn't seem like Judas was planning that Jesus would get killed when he agreed to betray him. Maybe he thought the officers wouldn't be able to arrest Jesus. After all, he had seen all those miracles that Jesus did, and there was some power there. Surely they wouldn't have any power against Jesus, and he could have those 30 pieces of silver. I'm not sure what he thought, but he couldn't live with himself when he saw that Jesus was condemned and went and hanged himself. And Satan won that round. I thought of a man in the Old Testament who dealt with his disappointments in the same way. We can find that story in 2 Samuel 16. I may not read anything right now, but we'll turn there. 2 Samuel 16. Maybe I'm in the wrong place. Maybe it was 1 Samuel. Okay, well that doesn't look right either. I was in 15 here, no wonder. Yes. You're right. Thank you. So, Ahithophel, we're thinking about Ahithophel here. Ahithophel was one of King David's counselors, but when Absalom rose up against David, Ahithophel followed Absalom. And Ahithophel was known for the wise counsel that he gave. And when David was fleeing from Absalom, David sent another of his counselors, Hushai, back to pretend to be on Absalom's side to try to defeat Ahithophel's counsel, his wise counsel. So in chapter 16 and verse 23, Ahithophel had given Absalom some counsel. And then we'll look at verse 23 here. And the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. So he gave good counsel. It was just as if God was speaking. And then in chapter 17 of 2 Samuel, Ahithophel gave his counsel again. And they all thought it sounded like excellent counsel. And we'll just start reading in verse 1 there. Moreover, Ahithophel said unto Absalom, "Let me now choose out 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue after David this night. And I will come upon him while he is weary and weak-handed, and will make him afraid. And all the people that are with him shall flee, and I will smite the king only. And I will bring back all the people unto thee. The man whom thou seekest is as if all returned, so all the people shall be in peace." And the saying pleased Absalom well, and all the elders of Israel. Then said Absalom, "Call now Hushai the Archite also, and let us hear likewise what he saith." They thought it sounded good, but then they also wanted to listen to Hushai. So Hushai gave different counsel. And the Lord caused them to follow Hushai's counsel. We look there in verse 14 of that chapter. Let's read there. After Hushai had given his counsel, which was very different from what Ahithophel had given. In verse 14, and Absalom and all the men of Israel said, the counsel of Hushai the Archite is better than the counsel of Ahithophel. For the Lord had appointed to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel to the intent that the Lord might bring evil upon Absalom. And then if we excuse me, go over to verse 23. And when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose and got him home to his house, to his city, and put his household in order and hanged himself, just like Judas, and died and was buried in the sepulcher of his father. So Ahithophel's disappointment was so strong that his counsel was not followed, that he went and killed and hanged himself. He did not let that discipline of disappointment make him better, but bitter, and Satan won this round as well. I'm sorry. I puzzled a bit how a man that gives counsel as the oracles of God couldn't have had some good counsel for himself. How did that happen? He let his disappointment get him down and so discouraged that the only way out was to kill himself. How sad. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 4 now. One more on this side of the page. People that followed Satan's advice and how to deal with their disappointments. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 1. And we'll read down through 9. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And then the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? So the very first child here that was born on this earth didn't deal very well with his disappointment when the Lord rejected his offering. He got mad. Cain didn't kill himself, but he did kill his brother Abel. And it seems like Satan won this round too. Even though the Lord had given Cain a way out, if thou doest well, you will be accepted, or won't you be accepted? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? He had a way out. So Mr. Webster said that disappointments often prove to be a blessing, but we must let this discipline of disappointment make us better, not bitter, for it to work a blessing in our life. So our three examples so far showed us we cannot afford to let our disappointments take us down the path to discouragement and anger and despair. The cost is too high. None of us want to pay it. But the on-ramp to this destination that these three came to was way back there. It started with small choices way back there, choices that seemed very insignificant. And I'm going to guess some people tried to warn them about their choices, but they just couldn't see it. When Judas developed that love for money, probably at a fairly young age, he had no idea that it would lead him to betray Jesus and to him ultimately taking his own life. And I don't know why Ahithophel's disappointment that his counsel wasn't followed was so strong that it caused him to hang himself. But maybe he had come to love the honor that came with being known as the man who always had good advice. Maybe he had a score to settle with David for what he had done to his granddaughter. I don't know, but whatever it was so strong, it kept him from having wise counsel for himself. And Cain had probably never learned to control his anger as a child, and now it ruled him. So yes, I think the on-ramp to these three men's destinations ending up here where they got to started a long way back in their life. They didn't just all of a sudden end up there for no reason at all. Choices have consequences, even seemingly insignificant ones. I've got a little thing here. I wasn't sure if I want to say it or not. It's just a story about myself. A choice that I made, I don't think there were too many eternal consequences in it, but it was a bit embarrassing thinking about on-ramps. I do a lot of driving and I should know better, but it happened to me twice. I had a family with me. We were coming back from Pennsylvania both times. And we'd been traveling for 8 or 9 hours. We stopped for fuel. And you guessed what happened next. When I got back on the interstate, I got on the wrong ramp and I was going the wrong way. I was going back north again. Well, on an interstate, you don't just turn around, or at least I don't. Maybe you can, but so I was stuck in there till the next exit, which in that case happened to be maybe 30 miles down the road. So here we were, 9 hours in the trip, tired already, the children not the happiest, and I'm adding at least another hour to our trip just by not paying attention. So we looked at some examples of how not to deal with our disappointments. Let's switch to some positive examples now. And the first one is a person right here in this community. I don't think he's here at church today. He's not usually here, but how many of you know Tommy Martin? A lot of you, most of you. He works down there at Laverne's Market at the checkout some days. I'm not sure if he's there every day or not, but Tommy can't walk. he gets around in a motorized wheelchair, and I think he has been in a wheelchair all his life, or at least for most of it. I think I remember years back of his mother helping him to walk with some braces or something, but he can't walk. Do you think he might be disappointed because he can't walk? I would certainly think so. I know I would be. But do you know what his trademark is? Can somebody tell me? To me anyway. What is his trademark?
Cheerfulness.
Cheerfulness. He's got a big smile on his face almost all the time. Here he is. He can't walk, but he can smile. He's been an inspiration to me many times. Somehow he has let that discipline of disappointment make him better and not bitter. So how does my lot in life compare with his? How are you dealing with your disappointments? With big smiles? I hope so. Let's be an inspiration to those around you. And I'll just let you in on this. Most people would rather not be around somebody that's complaining all the time about how bad they have it in life. A big smile goes a lot further. So another example from the Bible, dealing with disappointments. There was a young man in the Bible who had one disappointment after another in his life. But he didn't let it make him bitter. He didn't give in to self-pity. He allowed the discipline of disappointments to make him better. And you probably know who I'm speaking about. I'm speaking of Joseph. We can find his story in Genesis, maybe 37. I might start before that, but somewhere there. And it basically goes to the end of the book. But Joseph's mother died when he was a boy. Surely that was a big disappointment in his life. Later, when he was 17, he had those two dreams and told them to his family. Maybe not quite the smartest thing he ever did, but he had them on his heart, and they were real to him, and he told them. His brothers were already envious of him because of his dad's partiality towards him, and now they hated him even more. "Will you indeed reign over us?" they said. I think Joseph believed his dreams would come true. So imagine his disappointment when a short while later, when his brothers saw the opportunity and took it to sell Joseph as a slave to Egypt. Here he was, torn away from his family, a slave in a strange land all by himself. But even there, Joseph didn't give in to self-pity over the cruel ways his brothers had treated him. Where do we find him? We find him serving in Potiphar's house, doing his best and earning Potiphar's respect and trust. I think it says Potiphar put him over all his house. He trusted him. But then came another setback. Through the false accusations of Potiphar's wife, Joseph ended up in prison. Joseph's dreams hadn't shown him all these steps to being a ruler, but even in prison, he served heartily as to the Lord. He was committed to being useful in spite of the disappointments in his life. And Joseph also refused to compromise on questions of principle. He could have thought, "God, where are you in all this?" But he still believed in God, and he asked the right question. When Potiphar's wife was there, "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Joseph allowed the disappointments in his life to refine his character, and he became a better person through his experiences. That's God's intention for us through disappointments. Joseph accepted his life's hardships and disappointments as God's will for his life. He told his brothers, "You thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good." Rather than blaming God for his difficulties, he blessed God for overruling in his life. He recognized God had used trials to bring about much good. May we learn from his example. Another person we all know, Brother Dale Heisey, had a lot of disappointments in his life through the years, and he allowed them to shape him into a useful servant of the Lord. Albeit maybe he had to do a grade or two over there a time or two. So praise God for his patience with us. Thankfully, his mercies are every morning new. Let's look yet at Peter in Matthew 26 and how he dealt with the disappointment of having denied his Lord. Matthew 26. And we'll read 69 to the end of the chapter. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, "Thou also was with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied before them all, saying, "I know not what thou sayest." And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, "This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied with an oath, "I do not know the man." And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man, and immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Peter was very sorry for having denied his Lord and went out and wept bitterly. Dad used to tell the story, maybe in his preaching, of how in later years when Peter heard a rooster crow that he had to weep. And I wonder if the remembrance of that failure in later years helped him not to feel so strong in his own self. Helped make him better. So we have looked at some examples on both sides. May the one side inspire us and also help us to keep up our guards, keep our guards up, not giving in to any of Satan's subtle suggestions in trying to get us on the on-ramp to discouragement and defeat. And may the examples on the other side be a warning to us that we dare not give in to discouragement and despair. The price is too high. None of us can afford it. And remember that giving in to self-pity and feeling sorry for yourself are just the first steps in the direction of despair and destruction. But if not turned around, it will surely lead there. I tried to think of some major disappointments in my life, and couldn't come up with anything really significant. Also asked Mary Ann. She at first couldn't think of anything, so maybe life just went smooth for us. We had everything just like we wanted it all the time. Well, she did think of some later, and we did have some disappointments. during our son Aaron's sickness and fight with cancer and his death, thinking of being in the hospital there, wanting to go home and being told that we can leave that evening. And then his counts shot up and we had to stay, or coming home and then 2 days later a fever and we had to go back in for another week or two. There was some disappointments there. The disappointment that he died and didn't get better. But I guess, I don't know, maybe we didn't park there. I don't remember. But I'd like to recommend to not park on your disappointments. Don't sit there and dwell there. Move on with life. So thinking about the stories we have in the Bible of the people who weathered their storms, who came out still trusting in God, remember that while we can see the end from the beginning, they could not. They didn't know why things were going as they did. Think about Job, losing everything he had. And what did he say? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Think about Joseph and everything that he went through, and still believing in the Lord and knowing that it was for good, even though his brothers had meant it for evil. What about David? Jacob talked about him being chased by Saul up and down the mountain. What about when he came back to Ziklag and the city was burned and his wives and children were gone and his men were ready to stone him? What did he do then? Can somebody tell me? He encouraged himself in the Lord. The three Hebrew children, those three young men standing in front of that fiery furnace, they didn't know how it would turn out, but they trusted in God anyway. So those are shining examples for us as we pass through the through the valleys in our life, through the disappointments. I don't know if Brother Abner's here today or not. I hadn't seen him or heard him, but I think we'll have a bit of Bible memorization here in closing and a poem, and then we'll be done. So I want you to quote some verses that can help us to not let the disappointments get us down. Some verses that are can be an antidote to discouragement, to disappointment. And I'll give a reference and help a bit if needed. And then if you think of some more, we'll do a few more. But this first one here, all of us should know this one. So are you ready? Romans 8:28. Who can say that nice and loud and clear? Thank you. I don't know who said that, but yes. And we know. Do we know that? Is that here in our heart? We know that. How many things work together for good? All of them. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So we have that promise. Now, there is a condition attached to this one. This promise is to them that love God. But if you've got that down, you can stop fretting. These things will work out for good. I think a lot of you should know this one as well. Two verses, Psalms 103, verse 1 and 2. Who can say that? Bless the Lord.
I can try it.
Go ahead. Yeah, thank you. You skipped just a little bit. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And disappointments, when come, bless the Lord with all that you got. Try to remember everything he has done for you. Forget not all his benefits. There are many. The song says, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. So do that. Discouragement has a hard time flourishing in the midst of thankfulness, and disappointments can lead to discouragement if we're not careful. And I don't know if I am remembering correctly or not, but it seems to me like I remember some sermons by Brother Denny about repenting from the sin of discouragement. Maybe that's a bit too hard of a word, but I think there's a bit of truth in it. So now these, I'm not sure if these are how you do on these. Maybe you'll surprise me. First Thessalonians 5, 16, 17, and 18. That starts in, rejoice evermore. For this is, yes, thank you. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, even in disappointments. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Thanksgiving is powerful, and here we see that that's what God wants us to be doing. It is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. One more, and then if you thought of any, we'll give room for that. Philippians 4, verse 8 starts, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Yes, thank you. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Take every thought captive. I think we're told to do that, but think on things that are good. Have you thought of any others that might be an inspiration in this fight against disappointment? Amen. Thank you. Truly, if we have that in our life, we know He's our shepherd, and He is a good shepherd. He leads us to where we need to go. Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you.
I don't know if I can quite finish the verse, but which goes that the trying of your faith be much more precious than gold.
Which one?
That's where the rest of it leaves.
Okay. Yes. Thank you, Brother Dine.
I believe Job said, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he has tried me, I shall have glory."
Wow. Amen. Thank you. Okay, I don't want to cut anybody off, but I've got a little poem here from somebody that couldn't write poetry to save his life, Brother Eldon there. Disappointment is the title. Disappointment, his appointment. Change one letter, then I see that the thwarting of my purpose is God's better choice for me. If we take the D away from disappointment, put H there, it's his appointment. His appointment must be blessing, though it may come in disguise. For the end from the beginning, open to his vision lies. He sees our end from the beginning. He sees it before we're born. Disappointment, his appointment. Whose? The Lord who loves me best, understands and knows me fully, who my faith and love would test. For like loving earthly parents, he rejoices when he knows that his child accepts unquestioned all that from his wisdom flows. We like it when our children understand maybe sometimes why they have to be disciplined. Disappointment, his appointment. No good thing will he withhold. From denials off we gather, treasures of his love untold. When he says no in one area, often he gives us something better. Well, he knows each broken purpose leads to fuller, deeper trust, and the end of all his dealings proves our God is wise and just. Disappointment, his appointment, Lord, I take it then as such, like the clay in hands of potter, yielding wholly to his touch. All my life's plan in his molding, not one single choice be mine. Let me answer, unrepining, Father, not my will, but thine. Do God bless each one of you. Let's continue on, press on, and God is good, and he's for us.